Father, just thank you for your Shabbat, for your time of coming together. Thank you that if we listen, you will gather us under your wings. That your commands are for our good, that they are for life, that they are for blessing. Father, that we would just walk in them. We could be a light unto the nation. Father, in these times ahead for our nation, for our country, may we truly walk that they may see. May we have eyes to see, ears to hear. The Spirit is saying, may we have wisdom for the days ahead. We are in Leviticus 18. Again, to me, it is interesting to see how this year's Torah portions are lining up with what is happening, I believe, in our nation, in our country, in our midst today. The Supreme Court just ruled 7-2 to dismiss the lawsuit against the election. And so it would seem as if Electoral College will go ahead on Monday. And again, even with those things, I thought it was interesting the timing as all around the world people are celebrating the miracle of Yah's deliverance, the miracle of Yah delivering a nation that turned back to him, that wanted his laws, his right rulings, his guidance as their light. We have a nation that is refusing the rule of law, that is spurning even their own laws and constitution as they have done his for years. And the contrast as we're lighting a candle and as our Supreme Court is snuffing out perhaps the last light we had. I just found that timing unique. Leviticus 18:1. Yah spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am Yahuwah, your Elohim. Do not do as they do in the land of Mitzrayim where you dwelt, and do not do as they do in the land of Canaan where I'm bringing you, and do not walk in their laws. Do my right rulings and guard my laws and walk in them. I am Yah your Elohim. You shall guard my laws and my right rulings, which a man does and lives by them. I am Yahuwah. So I said it was amazing to me the way this Torah portion lined up as we're doing the triennial cycle, not the annual cycle, where it takes 3 years to go through the Torah portions. And this was the parashah that was assigned to today. Yes, those first five spoke volumes. I think we should take those to heart because I believe it is a warning, an admonition, and a direction, literally, that we'll see walked out in the next coming months. right here in our midst. The nakedness of your father and the nakedness of your mother you do not uncover. She is your mother. You do not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of your father's wife you do not uncover. It is your father's nakedness. The nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father and the daughter of your mother, or the daughter of your mother, whether born at home or elsewhere, the nakedness, their nakedness you do not uncover. The nakedness of your son's daughter and your daughter's daughter, their nakedness you do not uncover, for theirs is your own nakedness. The nakedness of your father's wife's daughter brought forth by your father, she is your sister, you do not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of your father's sister you do not uncover, she is your father's flesh. The nakedness of your mother's sister you do not uncover, for she is your mother's flesh. The nakedness of your father's brother you do not uncover. You do not approach his wife. She is your aunt. The nakedness of your daughter-in-law you do not uncover. She is your son's wife. You do not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of your brother's wife you do not uncover. It is your brother's nakedness. The nakedness of a woman and her daughter you do not uncover. Nor do you take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. They are her relatives. It is wickedness.
What does that mean? Uncover.
It means you don't have relations with them. You don't go in with them. And with the mixed families that we have today, with the divorce and remarriage, where we have siblings in the house that didn't grow up with each other, that aren't of the same mother, same father. People don't have to go very far to find promiscuity in most of the households nowadays. If you look at some of the posts, some of the polls, some of the things that are out there in the country, we literally are in a time of wickedness. Covenantless, covenant keeping has broken down. The barriers between what was considered right and wrong, moral and immoral, to where now it doesn't matter the age, it doesn't matter the sex, it doesn't matter the relations. We have words and names that have been made up and come into society for women that want to sleep with younger men. For men that want the younger women, for stepbrothers and stepsisters that are attracted to each other, stepparents and stepchildren. It's so prevalent that it's made it into our sitcoms and our sitcoms. And it's displayed on TV. Much less in our movies, in the lyrics, in the songs. So that it has become common. Because we've become lost. So we have no bounds, no boundaries. It is each man doing whatever feels good, whatever feels right, whatever seems for that moment. And then we wonder why the Supreme Court, in the face of seemingly evident lawlessness, wouldn't even hear the case. We live in a society of evident lawlessness that everyone ignores. Why should we expect our courts to be any different? You do not take a woman as a rival to her sister and cover her nakedness while the other is alive. Do not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness in her monthly separation of uncleanness. Do not have intercourse with the wife of your neighbor to defile yourself with her. Do not give any of your offspring to pass through to Molech, and do not profane the name of your Elohim. I am Yah. Again, all of those rampant in America. Not only do we have no boundaries in our household, we have no boundaries with our neighbors, with our friends, to the point where now some of the social media cute things is, it's gotten so pervasive, they trick one of the people in the relation to holding up cards. They tell them, oh, this is a mess or something else. And in it, they're admitting that they're cheating with their neighbor, their best friend, their whatever. And everyone thinks, oh, that's funny. Oh, that's a good time. Oh, look at them. We don't have statues of Molech, but we sure pass our children in the name of convenience, in the name of economics, in the name of not being bothered by consequences of our lifestyle. And I'm not sure what you would call that other than the spirit of Molech. Twenty-two, do not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Do not have intercourse with any beast to defile yourself with it, and a woman is not to stand before a beast to mate with it. It is a perversion. Do not defile yourself with all of these, for by all these the nations are defiled, which I am driving out before you. What the scripture calls an abomination, we are commanded now to celebrate. Not just to tolerate, but to celebrate. If you don't have a sticker in your business showing that you're a safe zone for the LGBTQRSP, then you're targeted in many communities. The police in many communities go around to the shops asking them if they're going to display the symbol. Our children in public school aren't just taught now that it's an alternative lifestyle, but that it is just as valid of a lifestyle. And they're taught that God, though most times they're not taught about God, made you that way. But not for the other. And a matter of fact, there's a push now not even to tell a child how God made them until they decide and discover that themselves. So that they can be the expression of His creation. Well, and it teaches to train a child in the way they should go. Do you know why you have to train a child in the way they should go? And they don't usually want to go in the way they want. It's amazing how they know the way not to go without being taught. One of my aunts put a little meme out that says, I'm tired of being an adult. I don't know that I even want to be a human. I just want to be a goat. I can jump around, kid around all day, eat what I want to, and headbutt anybody that bothers me. And at first I laughed and thought, oh yeah, I feel like that sometimes. Then I thought, you know, that's sad because that's really what most of us want to do. Abdicate our responsibility. Frolic all day. And anybody disagrees with us, not have to worry about it. And yet we're going, yep, I'm a goat, not a lamb. Many of them will. Who know better and would want to say, oh no, when the goats and sheep are separated, you're calling yourself. Verse 25. Thus the land became defiled. You wanna know why what is happening in America is happening today? Thus the land became defiled. Therefore I punish it for its crookedness. And the land vomited out its inhabitants. But you shall guard my laws and my right rulings and not do any of these abominations, the native nor stranger who sojourns among you. Because the men of the land who were before you have done all these abominations, and thus the land became defiled, so let not the land vomit you out for defiling it. As it vomited out the nations that were before you, for whoever does any of these abominations, those beings who do them shall be cut off from among their people. You shall guard my charge so as not to do any of these abominable laws which were done before you, so as not to defile yourself by them. I am Yah, your Elohim. We can say, God bless America. But yet, when we do not do the prerequisites to blessing, and instead we choose cursing, we choose death, we choose disobedience, we choose lawlessness, that's the only way for him to bless America. But to judge it, to clean it, to cleanse it. We have done these things, and to the point where now they're not just in the shadows, in the whispered, in the red light districts. But they're literally in household after household in America. They're celebrated in the churches, are ignored. Our schools are rampant. So that children who don't want to participate in those things can't even go to the restroom between classes without fear of assault. Teachers and coaches, pastors and priests who take advantage of their position and a culture that celebrates much of that lifestyle. We had a chance to make America great again, to come in and drain the swamp. And as a whole, I think the church sat back and expected Trump to do it on his own when he was never given the authority nor the job to repent and clean. The church, though it stood for his re-election, where did it stand the last years as time after time they came against him? Where did it stand where we got serious about repenting, where we got serious about cleansing the deep state out of our life, our building? I mean, it didn't even affect us to the point where Barack Obama was elected 2 terms. I pray in the days ahead that the remnant will continue and will rise up, because I believe the road ahead is going to be rough. Jeremiah, chapter 10, again, speaking exactly to the times we are in. They said verse 2, but I'm going to read verse 1 as well. Hear the word which Yah speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says Yah, do not learn the way of the nations. Do not be awed by the signs of the heaven, for the nations are awed, dismayed at them. For the laws of these people are worthless. For one cuts a tree from the forest, works for the hand of a craftsman with a cutting tool. They beautify it with silver and gold. They strengthen it with nails and hammers so that it does not topple. They are like a rounded post, and they do not speak. They have to be carried, for they do not walk. Do not be afraid of them, for they do no evil, nor is it in them to do any good. We say we do not have idols here in America, but Jeremiah just said, do not cut down a tree. Don't nail it up, because it won't stand without you nailing it, screwing it, put it up. And then don't decorate it with silver and gold. And most houses, in if they haven't already done so in the next week, will absolutely either cut down a tree or get a fake one. They no longer nail it up. They'll screw it in some type of holder and decorate it with gold, silver, whatever colors they want to. And on top of it, they'll put a star or an angel, because that makes it to Jesus. And most times, on top of that is a 5-pointed star. And I learned what the pentagram was long ago. And I do not doubt that an angel of light sits atop the tree. The scripture talks many times about an angel of light. And they've definitely come to deceive the nations, because I was lied to as a child about what that tree was for, and I'm sure you were too. The travesty is that in the name of family tradition, in the name of family time, and many times in the name of Jesus, people don't understand when I don't perpetuate that lie. How could I, as a loving parent, not lie to my child? When I look back in the founding of this nation, up into Boston, which is not the bastion of conservatism, you know, in Boston it was illegal to do Christmas. That they printed flyers and stuck it around, and there was a fine if you celebrated Christmas and were closed on that day. Alabama was the first state to legalize Christmas. They had to legalize it because so many were already against it. I was grown up, went to a Southern Baptist church, and heard how wicked the Catholic Church was. But it seemed every December we always wanted to go and have a Christ Mass service. The day that the Catholic Church deemed. So that we literally, as a church, as Christianity, as mainstream, have adopted literally the ways of the world. Now, I'm sorry if that offends you. I'm sorry if you had good memories growing up. I do too. I have great memories of family time. You know, I hope my children have great times of family times without the falsehood, with their eyes open. I hope my family knows that their mother and their father loves them enough to try to provide for them, because our Heavenly Father provides for us. I hope we can celebrate Messiah in his birth when he may actually have been born, because I don't believe the shepherds were out at watch of their sheep at night in the middle of the snow. Not if they were good shepherds. Not if they wanted their sheep alive. And when we begin to read Yah's word and see that Yah has his feast days, his holy days, his holidays that he commanded us to keep, we begin to wonder why they were replaced with these other holy days. And exactly who are you worshiping on this holy day, holiday, if it wasn't Yah's feast? It won't take much research to find out the roots of most of these, and when it changed and when it began to get crept in. Nor does it take much to find out his truth about his days. And to begin to celebrate those as a family and have family traditions around them. Now many here in the South can remember Hank Williams and Hank Williams Jr. And Hank Jr.'s song that said, Hank, why do you drink? Why do you roll smoke? Why do you do the things that you do? It's just a family tradition. I choose to take a stand for my generation. I choose to take a stand for my family, for those who are around me, and develop different family traditions. Family traditions that can enhance, increase, bring blessing, choose life. I'm grateful for parents and grandparents that loved me and perhaps did all they knew to have good family time. But I'm also grateful for His Word and for a Heavenly Father who will lead me, guide me, and show me if I'll just have eyes to hear. Eyes to see and ears to hear. Verse 6, there is none like you, O Yah. You are great, and great is your name and might. Who would not fear you, O sovereign of the nations? For this is your due. For among all the wise men of the nations and in all their reigns, there is none like you. They are both brutish and foolish, an instruction of worthlessness is the tree. Scripture. Argue with it. As for me and my house, we shall choose Yahuwah. Silver is beaten into plates. It is brought from Tarshish and gold from Uphaz. The work of the craftsmen and the hands of the smith, draped in blue and purple, all of them are works of skilled ones. But Yah is truly Elohim. He is the living Elohim and the everlasting sovereign. At His wrath, the earth shakes and nations are unable to stand His displeasure. Say to them this, the Elah that did not make the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He has made the earth by His power. He has established the world by His wisdom and has stretched out the heavens by His understanding. When He makes His voice heard, there is a roaring of waters in the heavens, and He makes vapors rise from the ends of the earth. The lightning for rain He has made and brings wind from His treasures. Everyone is brutish in knowledge. Every smith is put to shame by his idol. For His molded image is falsehood, and there is no spirit in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of the punishment, they perish. We need to begin to clean house. Remnant, church, disciples, set apart ones, ecclesia, called out ones, that no longer worship as the nations, that no longer walk about carried by every wind of doctrine, but that I begin to grow up into Him and put away childish things. The portion of Yaakov is not like these, for He is the maker of all, and Israel is the tribe of His inheritance. Yah Host is His name. Gather up your bundle from the ground, you who live under siege. For thus says Yah, see, at this time I am hurling out the inhabitants of the land and shall distress them, so they feel it. Woe to me for my breaking. My wound is grievous. But I say, this is my sickness, and I bear it. My tent has been ravaged, and all my cords have been broken. My children have gone from me, and they are no more. There is no one to pitch my tent anymore or to set up my curtains. For the shepherds have become brutish. They have not sought Yah, therefore they did not understand. And all their flock scattered. Literally, we see that taking place before us today as the government is mandating in state after state that they cannot gather to worship, to celebrate, to honor Yah. And literally, their cords are being broken. There's no one to set up their tents because the shepherds have chosen. The flock is scattered. Door after door after door of churches being shuttered. And there's no cry from the people. First Corinthians 5. It is commonly reported that there is whoring among you, and such whoring as is not even named among the nations. So is one to have his father's wife, and you have been puffed up, and did not rather mourn, so that he who has done this deed be removed from among you. For I indeed, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged the one who did this as though I were present. Now, did you catch that? Here's Paul, the apostle of grace, the apostle who said, supposedly, the law has been done away with, and he said, it seems to be common knowledge, there's a man in your midst who's taken his father's wife. And y'all all have gotten so puffed up, no one even wants to address it. No one wants to remove him. I haven't even gotten there yet. And I've already judged him. As though I were present. Now, how could Paul have already judged him even though he wasn't present? And what does Torah say? Let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. This guy was so bold and so brazen. Obviously, enough people had been through there and seen it that enough had gotten back to Paul that it had already been established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So Paul's saying, I don't even have to wait till I come there. I've already heard enough to pass judgment. Now what judgment did he pass? Slap him on the wrist. Let's see. Because verse 4 he says, in the name of our Master Yeshua HaMashiach, when you have gathered together and my spirit with the power of our Master Yeshua HaMashiach, deliver such a one to Satan for destruction of the flesh in order that his spirit be saved in the day of the Master
Yeshua.
He didn't tell him just put him out. He said, when you get together in the name of Jesus and with Paul's instruction and authority, pray the power of Jesus that his life be a living hell that Satan just buffets the hoop out of him. As well as putting him out. What book are we reading out of? Wow. The New Testament, the apostolic writing, the second writing. Why? Because Yah's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He changes not. The Torah, the perfect law of Torah, has not changed. What changed was Yeshua came that I might have life and life abundantly. That he has enabled that if I would die to self and live to Messiah, that I might live the life that Messiah lived. And what life did Messiah live? Life of Torah. Hallelujah. He dealt with my sin nature. That now not only have I been born of the water and blood, I could be born of the Spirit. That I should live to the Spirit. That I should no longer walk in the flesh. Your boasting is not good. What boasting? Back up in verse 2, where they were puffed up, where they would not deal with sin in the camp. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the entire lump? Therefore, cleanse out the old leaven, so that you are a new lump, as you are unleavened, for also Messiah, our Pesach, was slaughtered for us. What was he telling them? You let sin remain in the camp, what's going to happen? More sin's going to happen in the camp. What do we see over and over and over in our churches today? We've not dealt with sin. We've not dealt and told people there are no consequences. Live however you want to live, and now how are people living? However they want to live. So then let us celebrate the festival, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of evil and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. What festival? He just told them Pesach. Well, I thought this was New Testament. I wrote to you in my letter not to keep company with those who whore, and I certainly did not mean with those of this world who whore, or with the greedy of gain, or swindlers, or idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out to the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone called a brother, if he is one who whores, or greedy of gain, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunken, or a swindler. Not even to eat with such a one. So when he said, I wrote to you not to keep company with whores, he's not talking about not going out to the nightclubs. He's not talking about not going out with those kind of people. He said, I didn't expect you to be out with those kind of people anyway, because you'd have to go where those kind of people go. So I'm talking about those kind of people who say they're your brothers, or your brothers who are those kind of people, who do the same thing as those kind of people, but put on airs, put on godliness, put on righteousness, sit in the pew week after week, but are lawless all the rest of the time. He said, don't keep company with them. Don't sit down and eat with them. Don't have anything to do with them. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are inside? But Elohim judges those who are outside, and put away the wicked one from among you. Let Yah deal with the heathen. How do you expect them to act? They're heathen. But you better judge your house, the insiders, those who are in your midst. And then he quotes the Old Testament, put away the wicked one from among you. But yet, what do we teach? Oh, grace, grace, don't judge. We're open to all. Yes, I'm open to all. And the same door they came in, they can go out if they don't want to behave. If they don't want to change. If they don't want to learn. We're open to the whores and the idolaters and the drunken, the greedy of gain and the swindlers, because they need what we've got. And some of us used to be some of them. And but for Yah's grace and us following his commands, we will become them. But we expect them when they come in and learn to change, because our God is a God of change. His power will transform a man from a dead soul to a living being. And it doesn't take a real long time. Now, it's years and years and years of walking it out afterwards, because every day I have to die to self. Every day I have to take up my cross. Every day I have to resist. But all they have to do is be willing to change. Willing to believe, be willing to submit, be willing to repent. But you know, to do that, they need to see that there is another way. When they come in and see those sitting in the seats that act just like them, talk look like them, smell just like them, just don't want to confess that they're them, they see no reason to change. It's not just for us that we put those outside of the camp who are false. But for when the others come in, they don't go, oh yeah, I'm all right. Look, so-and-so's here and so-and-so's here. But we're supposed to lift him up, let his light shine through us. Should any of you holding a matter against another go to be judged before the unrighteous and not before the set-apart ones? Do you not know that the set-apart ones shall judge the world? And if the world is judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Here again, the church says yes, because we don't judge. Why do we not judge? Well, the scripture says, judge not. No, the scripture says, judge not that you be not judged. With what judgment you judge, it will be judged for you. Therefore, judge with righteous judgment. I'm commanded not to judge in my opinion, in my thoughts on the matter, in my preferences. And instead, I'm commanded to judge by Torah with righteous judgment, with his right rulings, Because when I judge with that, my judgment is always going to be to honor Yah and to love my neighbor as myself. Even in turning one over to Hasatan, his hope was that it would drive him back to Yah, back to the assembly, that his soul could be saved if his flesh was tormented. Even in putting the man out from the camp, it was in hopes that he would want to be returned, reestablished, accepted again. Do you not know that we shall judge messengers? How much more matters of this life? If then you truly have judgments of this life, do you appoint them as judges who are least esteemed by the assembly? I would say that's exactly what we have as judges and politicians and leaders today, those who are least esteemed by the assembly. And we wonder why we have it is. I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise one among you, not even one who will be able to judge between his brothers? But we don't want to submit to one another. We don't want to be bothered. We don't look to our elders, our wise ones. I'm a man. I'm the man of my house. I'm the priest of this house. And so we are shamed. We are without community. We're without elders by the gates. We have no bit den. And so every man does what's right in his own eyes rather than being judged, being restored, being family, being community. But brother against brother goes to be judged, and that before unbelievers. Already there then is a failure with you that you have lawsuits among you. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? But you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and that to your brothers. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the reign of Elohim? Do not be deceived. Neither know those who whore, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor greedy of gain, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the reign of Elohim. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were set apart, you were declared right in the name of the Master Yeshua and by the Spirit of our Elohim. If we are not in relationship in the days ahead, where we have elders, where we have bed in, when we have those we can go to, when we have a problem, we're getting ready, I believe, to see a world, a court system, a authority structure that will literally devour you. And if we are not united, and I do not believe we will stand in the days ahead, we better repent of our hubris, repent of our individualism, repent of our every man hearing God for himself, and learn to live in his order, in his way, in his structure, and learn to put aside our selfishness that we can come together. Because over and over the scripture says how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity. A threefold cord is not easily broken. One can set 1,000 aflight, but two, 10,000. In the midst of two or three, there I shall be also.
Father, thank you. Your word is true. It will not return void, though heaven and earth shall pass away. Your word remains. Father, thank you that even though Elijah may have felt alone, there were 7,000 who had not bowed a knee. Father, though it truly seems though Ahab and Jezebel are inhabiting the courts, the courtyard, the palace, may we stand and know that you can still deliver us from the prophets of Baal. May we seek those who are still in the way. May we band together. May we find those who are of wisdom, who can help lead, guide, direct. May we come in order. Messiah, even though all was put into you, you submitted yourself. You came, you lived, you died, and one day, as all is handed back to you, you will turn again and lay it at your Father's feet. As you are our head, may we so learn as you do. May we truly begin to be that body where we are members one of another, where we are your army, set in orders by tens and fifties and hundreds and thousands, where we are a community, a force, living for you, that we can be a living city set on the hill. Amen. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto, Leolam Vayet. Shabbat Shalom.